Welcome to the show. I'm with Amy Itsu. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So can you talk to me more about what you do?
Yeah, so for work, I'm a practicing lawyer. So I went to obviously law school, and now I did my own. I started up a company called L'Atelier de Justice Participative, and basically what we do is we help people self-represent, either small claims or superior court or even maybe court of appeals. So we help people just do everything themselves.
All right, interesting. So how did you want to get into the law practice?
That's a funny story. Before I did law, I actually did a bachelor's in marketing at UCAM. And basically, I did an internship there, and then I realized that there were maybe some injustice that was happening at the company where I was working at, and I figured maybe I wanted to be a lawyer, try and do something about it. And so I decided to go to law school, but it wasn't easy right after getting out of marketing to get into law school because they accept more people from CJEP, so it was a little complicated, but I got in, and I just wanted to do something more concrete, and I wanted to help people in a different way than maybe what I was doing in marketing. So that's why I went.
So when you want to go to law school, you need like these high grades, right?
Yeah.
So how does that happen?
For me, it took a while. I really wanted to get into law school. And because my last year of marketing, I knew I didn't want to do that. My grades dropped. I wasn't really interested in the subject anymore. So I did a certificate in law, which enabled me to get my grades up and also to see what it was like. And then after I did a couple classes, and everything was to like bring my grades up. So then once I got them back up, then I applied to Ottawa U, and Ottawa U accepted me. So I went wherever they accepted me. I moved to Ottawa for 2.5 years. So they credit me with the classes that I had done at Université de Montréal. So it was cool.
So you basically moved to Ottawa from Montreal.
Yeah.
So how does one take that leap?
You just do it. If that's really what you want to do, I did everything that I could to get into law school. And when I got into law school, it was no question. Wherever they took me, even if it was in Sherbrooke or was in Quebec, I would have taken my stuff and moved. So I had a boyfriend at the time that was in Montreal, so I was going back and forth. But it was a sacrifice that I did to become a lawyer, and I don't regret anything.
So you don't really care about the location that much?
No, not at all, no. They took me, I went with open arms, take me, and they did. So it was great, it turned out well.
Perfect. So you're vegan, right?
Yes.
So I wanna know, what are some cool recipes that people can try?
Oh God.
Right away.
Do you have like 3 hours? I can tell you all about vegan recipes. So I'm vegan. Probably most people don't know because it's not something you know unless you follow me on Instagram. So I'm vegan. I've been vegan since I went to law school. So I used to be a vegetarian. I've been a vegetarian since high school. So over maybe 15 years. Yeah, 15 years vegetarian, and I've been maybe 6 years vegan. And cool recipes, I would say, oh my God, there are plenty. There's like tofu général Tao. There's these bowls, they're called, Buddha bowls with tempeh, like a lot of chili. You can look, I really like this guy, and he makes it super, super simple and easy. It's La Cuisine de Jean-Philippe, shameless plug to him. Or in English, I think it's like the Buddha Chef. So he has like an English website, and his recipes take like 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and they're excellent, and you don't need some like crazy like ingredients. Everybody has these ingredients at home. That's what makes it so accessible. And they're good. So Cuisine de Jean-Philippe is like a must. If not, you can go on One Green Planet. There are plenty of recipes. Or just Google any of your favorite recipes and write vegan beside it, and you'll find 1,000 recipes.
So usually people have trouble like turning like vegan because of like the ingredients, basically. Like,
oh, it's
tastes,
hard.
Like it tastes different. Like even if you have like the same kind of recipe, like
yeah.
It tastes so different that people have a hard time.
I think that's a misconception, though. I think more and more recipes are kind of similar, but I think the problem too is we're so used to eating super sugary and salty foods
yeah.
that then you get into like a more plant-based, like vegan, and they're maybe a little less salty.
Yeah.
But the goal is to just start transitioning. So like lean in. You can maybe just do like one vegan meal a week or whatnot. Start it off that way and then slowly transition. Include more fruits and vegetables in your diet. And maybe if it's not salty enough, we'll add more salt, but start reducing. And then you'll end up seeing that like when I eat chips, it's like way too salty. And like I can only have like three and I'm like, ah, give me some water. But it's really just like a slow transition. But once you make that transition, it becomes so much easier.
So how do you make a meal plan for a vegan that wants to work out?
Meal plans. I don't really do meal plans, but...
I mean, you're very athletic.
Yeah. So I try to make like big batches of food, right? So now that I'm alone, like obviously things last like a lot longer. So I'll make like a vegan chili. So I'll put like a whole bunch of different beans and corns, and then I'll have that for like 4 days. I'm not going to eat that for 4 days, but I'll have enough for 4 days. You just make like more so like that you can, you know, you can have some for the whole week. So usually after trainings, you can also add smoothies, add a bit of like protein powder if you want. Not don't get crazy on the protein powder. I think there's like little misconceptions, but I'm just a lawyer. I'm not a nutritionist. Go ask a nutritionist. But I think people maybe overtake protein. Okay. And what happens is protein becomes fat if you take too much of it. But again, don't quote me on this. I'm not sure. This is just with experience. This is what I've been taught. So yeah, it's just you make more and you always have like snacks and fruits and vegetables. I always have a whole bunch of fruits and vegetables that I can just grab and eat on the way.
So for those who follow you on Instagram, they can see your pictures that are you doing a lot of sports.
Yeah.
Where does that come from?
I'm not sure. There was, I think when I became vegan, so I started up reading about ultramarathons and vegan ultramarathons, ultramarathoners. And I'm like, wow, these people can run over 42 kilometers, because that's what an ultramarathon is anything over 42 kilometers, which already a marathon in itself is like, most people have not done a marathon. So already that is like amazing. But then these people go like above and beyond, and they don't eat eggs, they don't eat dairy, and they don't eat meat. And I'm like, wow, I really want to set that example that you can be vegan and you can still be in shape and not have, not, I want people to forget about that image of that like hippie, frail, pale, like little tree hugger vegan. Like I want it to change the image and say, you know what, being vegan is cool, it's fun, and look what I can do on a vegan diet. So that's how I kind of started. And then I've always done I've always done a lot of exercise, but then I just like took it up like a notch, like 10 times. So
and
that's
what have you done any competitions or?
Yeah, so I started, it's always good to start small. So I started I wasn't a runner. I've only started running since 2012. So I started small. I did like a 10K and then I'm like, easy stuff. Let's do half marathon. Then I did the Montreal half marathon. And I'm like, I still feel good after. Let's go up. And after the half, well, there's the full. So then the next year I did the full marathon in Montreal. After I finished that, I'm like, I still have energy. I can still go. So then my first ultra race was a race in Saint-Lambert, which was Le Tour en Rond, which was basically 6 hours of running around a track. And so the goal was to run as many kilometers as you can around a track. So I did that for 6 hours. I ended up running like 50 kilometers. So that was my first ultra. And then after I figured, well, I can do this, I can do anything. So then I decided to do the Mount Royal Summit Crest in 2016, which is 100 kilometers of road running from Mount Royal all the way to Beaconsfield and then back to Mount Royal. But unfortunately, I had to stop after 84 kilometers due to dehydration. I was almost there on the way. I got lost, so I did a bit like, I did like 4 extra kilometers. And then with the heat and all that, I wasn't drinking enough water, you know, mistakes from when you start. And I ended up going to the emergency room because I was really dehydrated. So just drink enough water if you're going to do that.
So
but I learned my lesson. Yeah, no, yeah. Please do not. And don't do that if you don't consult a medical doctor because, yeah, it's a lot. So I unfortunately did not finish, but 84 is still 2 marathons. I think it's respectable.
So did you do that, like, you got trained for that, or were you just doing that alone?
So I trained by myself.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe that was,
like Rocky.
Yeah, but that was probably a rookie mistake, is training by yourself. Maybe I could have trained better and more efficiently if I had a coach. So I was doing that race while I was working. So my first ultra, I did it while I was doing my stage for the Bajo. And so with that, you never know. You know what time you get in, you never know what time you get out. So I would run at like 5 o'clock in the morning to train, and then I would do a second run at night whenever I would get home, between like 7, sometimes 12. And then after that 100 kilometer race, I was running morning and night as well. I had a more stable job. So I was training morning and at night, and yeah, it was a lot.
How do you keep such a productive schedule?
You wake up early.
Okay.
You miss a bit of sleep, which a lot of people will say that it's not good. You should always get your 8 hours of sleep. You're just very organized. I'm somebody that's extremely organized, and I time everything appropriately. Not all the time, but I try to just stay organized and, you know, to follow the schedule and the training schedule, and I try not to miss. So I'm just very ingrained like that.
So there you have it. Thank you, Amy, for being on the show.
You're welcome.
And we'll see you next time.